Peace, love, blessings, and honor. Thanks for joining us, everyone. I'm your co-host, Eyes Red.
And I'm your co-host, Reality Soldier.
And we are
Garvey's Ghost in the spectrum of roots.
You know, watch a big smile behind your face. You love that. No, you love that. Yeah, no, you love that.
We're having luck, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So we have
another system.
We have another stellar star in the firmament of stars. Yeah, wow. My brother.
So, Ota International.
Yeah, I tell you. So introduce our guest, my brother.
Today, we are pleased to have with us, joining us today, the one and only Patrick Matix Abba Original, you know, great Hans, man, you know. Yeah.
Greetings, my brother.
Yes, my brother. What do you say?
Greetings.
Oh, yeah.
Greetings.
Man. You good?
Much love, man. Yeah.
Yes, happy. Yeah, man.
Glad to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're glad to have you here. And, you know, I'm sure everyone can't wait to hear your story, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're going to kick off the ball and, like, start with, how, you know, where was you born? What was your early years growing up, your siblings, your family, them kind of vibe. So take it away, Abba.
Where you born?
Where me born? Hoyt Gore.
Yeah.
Okay. My parents come from Jamaica. My mother is from Bourg in St. James, Montego Bay.
Okay.
My father is from Roampton, which is also in St. James, but that is further up near Anchovy.
Right.
Okay. So you go out them places, Cops and
right,
around that area. That's where my mother and my father is coming from. They came to England. My father first came to England in 1955.
Okay.
I went back to Jamaica and stayed 1957 he came to England.
Okay.
On the boat. You know,
see,
and
not the boat,
the Wind Rock.
Well, no, Wind,
one of them
bought there, because Wind Rock was just one of them,
of course.
Of the bought them, you know. And he docked in London,
okay,
on London docks at the time. So, anyway, yes, he came. He's as you do, you have to scout out, find where to live. Then he brought them. I bring my mother over,
mm-hmm,
and when my mother come over now, 1957, I born.
Right.
So
how many of your siblings?
No, when I born now, I born, and there's a story to how me born, because when me born now, apparently, according to my mother, because it's only my mother could say it anyway. A nurse, she was in asleep, and then she woke up, and when she wake up now, she see two nurses have me up in the air, mm-hmm, like this.
See?
Like
a jumping.
Looking like a jumping. Like looking up in a minute. You understand? So my mother now, shock, hey, what are you doing with my baby?
Hmm.
Nurse's reply was, we wanted to see if it had a tail.
Weird.
Wow.
See?
This is England.
See?
You understand? So we go through that.
Mm.
So me born in a hole of that.
Okay.
And then my father and my mother were growing up. There's certain man like Mr. Joe Witter, who's a Jamaican.
Mm.
Joe Witter, he used to die in England. And he was our connection, like my parents' connection to get apartments.
Okay.
Because you know about this, no black, no Irish man, no even a dog, no nothing can come inside there if it ain't English.
Mm.
You understand? And literally, the system allowed this behavior for one.
Mm.
So obviously, it's regular thing, you know?
How many siblings did you have living with you at this time?
One. I was the only one.
Oh, right. So the rest of them back in Jamaica?
Nobody not back at Jamaica.
Oh, you're the eldest?
I'm the first born in England. No, I'm not the eldest.
Oh.
I'm the first born in England.
Right. Okay.
You understand? You're talking about me, right? You know, 18 months, 2 years later, buttons come.
And okay.
And then brother Phil.
Right.
You understand?
See.
And then my two sisters, Sister Sonia, and Sister Jackie.
Okay.
The last one. That is that was it.
Right.
You know, but we was two in Jamaica. Right? My eldest sister, Pete, and my eldest brother.
Right.
We call him Wayne.
Okay.
But his name is Walt. But yeah, that's who, but later, later when my father and my mother set up, that time we did have, yeah, four we did born. Then we have my father bring up my brother and my little sister.
Mm.
And that was a meeting, you know.
Okay.
Right. Oh, no, born in Jamaica. We born, yes, sir. Oh, you talk Jamaican and, you know, go to Jamaica. We say, yeah, weird, man.
Jamaican household, man.
Oh, see it.
Yeah.
When we die yard, isn't it? And when we come out the road and he said, what, mate? How you doing?
Where was you living in time there? What area?
South London. Oh, all over South London. Right. Croydon. Cause I was born in Croydon Hospital, innit?
Okay.
So like I'm born all around that side there. So I grew up, so we moved, as I said, Mr. Witter used to find his apartment.
Okay.
He used to find a Jamaican name apartment.
Okay.
In South London because he was working for a real estate officer.
Right.
So that real estate office. So it was easy for we forget. Things, so we should get a word about people placing a brick stand for live.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
And Joe, we touch around, you should get nothing we had Lewisham, as far as Lewisham. This Joe Witter, brother.
Okay.
Right. You understand? Jamaican. So he helped me and helped the family. And that was early days, and right. We got through. And
so, what was dad's job of choice?
My father?
Yeah.
My father was a French polisher.
Okay.
In Jamaica.
And when he came here?
He get demoted. He's a carpenter now. He's a carpenter. Right. Because French polishing jobs, oh no, you go up with the lords and the ladies and the nobs and all them people there.
Right.
And you'll fix up their things, you understand?
Mm.
And true common people, you know, they were giving, the elite them did have met things for common people, right? You didn't need all that nice French polishing and the thick wood and all that thing there.
Yeah.
You understand?
Mm.
Glass, fiberglass and these kind of things was coming out.
Mm.
So like my father now, he ended up being, as working wood, ended up being a carpenter. Okay. So he was a carpenter and he had jobs and he got a contract from the local council in the area. In South London, local council. And he was doing a lot of fixing up and
What about mummy? What was mummy's profession?
Mum was just like looking after
the family.
Family.
Yeah.
Right. So she used to do this thing, odd jobs here where you can work from home, you know. So she remember these models that it's a dummy.
Okay.
But they used to put a new, tailor to make clothes. Yeah, right. We used to know it as the jig.
Okay.
Right, so it's like metal and you click together and you made up these jigs and you made up the thing where the people would, the designers would put their clothes on. And
Vary the size.
My mother was doing that. That's one job I remember my mother was doing. But basically, my mother never did nothing, you understand, more than just mind 7 hours.
Well, I wouldn't say it's not.
Yeah, a big word that.
But we know it.
From that debt.
Homemaker.
And obviously it's a job. He's only my white friends, my English friends, used to say it's a task. It's a job, looking after family and that, right? See, to me, looking after family is what you do.
It's
a life thing. Don't put no independent value on it, but on money.
Yeah, for real.
Say it's a job, you understand?
For real.
Like nursing and thing, probably that's why the reason English people don't like looking after their elders is showing me, you know?
And what about school? What's your memories of school?
Boy, school was lovely, mate. School was lovely. But you know what I mean? School was lovely.
Yeah.
School was lovely. Young school was lovely. I moved around. So I went to this school called Malcolm School, South London. I was down there. And I think when I got to about age seven, I met in an accident where builders was up there on top of the roof, on the school roof, right? Slapping tar about the place. Yeah. Bang. Some useless worker, he's left a child, on the side of the roof, the wall, with the roof, right, bang, falls over. I'm sitting down there, dink, there you go. Stop the progress for a bit.
Right.
You know, but like, yeah, aside from that school, then I had to move from there to another school, right? So, but always loving music, always had this love for music, always loving this love for music, you know?
Right.
I went to all boys school.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah, it was all boys, right? It didn't turn fully comprehensive at the time. They tried to make our school comprehensive, but like the council said, I don't think so somehow, right? Because the type of families that that had their children going to that school, you know what I mean? It wasn't easy, you understand what I'm saying? They don't get good pass rates down there.
So is this where you really kind of picked up music and your instrument?
No, well, see, picking up the music and all them thing then was back in my infant days.
Right,
because my mother's a church person. She loved Jesus and the whole concept of that, you understand?
Right.
So we after the amount of churches that we used to go to, I ended up in the Salvation Army.
Okay.
Right? Now, how I ended up in the Salvation Army was because of going to a group called the Cubs.
Yes.
You had Cub Scouts, okay, deep, dob, dobs, and all these kind of things. Yeah, very middle classish activities. Mm. So my parents... my mother, she would guide us and steer us that way.
Okay.
Right, and because she died, this club, the Scouts, right, was affiliated. They used to go to the Salvation Army Church on Sundays, because like that's what the Baden Powell said.
Yes.
All kids must learn and go to church and stuff like this. Well, anyway, that's how I got associated with the music now. Mm-hmm. Right, I've always had the music in my head.
Right.
Because I'm always in singing tunes and that. But like, that when we got there, it's an instrument.
Right.
And what was that instrument?
That first instrument was called a tenor horn.
Okay.
It's a small horn, because you got your tenor horn, then you got your tenor, and you got euphoniums, then you got your bass, E-bass, and you got your big, your sousaphones. So it's that.
From the orchestra.
Yeah. No, it's not an orchestra, right? Okay. It's a band. It's a brass band.
Yes.
Right.
It's a brass band.
It's not an orchestral instrument.
No, band. No. Right. There's no violins or anything of that thing. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
So Salvation Army people are known for like when they go, which I used to do.
Okay.
When I was like 10 years old.
Okay.
I was still doing this.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So this is when you started to hone your craft and ting from them early days there.
I started to learn music more.
Reading music coming out as well?
Yes, because like it's what we've done, you know?
Yeah, right.
But like, you know, but that was the early days, so that was affiliated with the church.
Mm.
And that's how I got to learn how to play an instrument.
Yeah. Right.
And then shaking tambourines and glockenspiel.
That was like your entrance ticket into that
to music.
World.
Yeah, yes, to music. So you know, playing instruments.
What were you listening to at the time that your chosen instrument could have reflected?
No, it never nothing like that. No, nothing like that. My musical My introduction to music, right, is my father. Right. See. Remember, I'm born in England. Yeah. Right. So with the sounds I'm hearing, I'm just hearing, "Oh, yo, silver lining." That's the way. I mean, these kind of sounds, right? Mm. My father, God, Jamaica now and again, comes back and he bring back records.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm hearing Gay Lads, a dinner for two, me and you, and sing up, man, sing me a song. I'm hearing 100% the Gay Lads. How does it feel to be on your own? I can go back, man. Right. Seeing, you know, and this music, that is the thing that has got me.
Mm.
Right.
Because I can remember when we had a blue spot drum.
Yes.
I'm like that.
See.
You say that kid's mad, you know, look at him.
But you see, the importance of the music, I would say, is that because you born in a alien kind of environment, whatever. Connected with your history, your culture.
Well, I understand what you're saying.
Mm.
You understand? But me never born in an alien environment, right? See, my born in an environment was from Jamaica, because my parents, them, have to live here in England.
Yeah, yeah,
and I have to deal with them people out there. Mm. So I have to deal, I have to learn to deal with it when me go to school too.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about.
Are you miss, 10 years eat their pets.
Okay.
Right, because my dad's got goat outside in the backyard. He's got chicken outside inside the backyard. He's got them things there going on inside the backyard. He's got vegetable I grew up. And we near my own way. Hang on a minute. See, so if you want to know about culture difference.
Yeah, of course.
Mm.
But that's why I said it was an alien environment. Within your household is what you're used to.
Yeah, yeah.
But outside is a different thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
about. So, But inside the music of Jamaica, I was in. So it's always been in with me.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? To the fact that, you know what I mean? I had buttons behind them time there. But our dad used to put on parties.
Right.
Blues dance, we call it in the house. Right? What do you do it for? Earn a little champ flag, because we now say people like to dance, and so we just bring the log up here.
Yeah,
you know, domino contest, a competition, I go on in the place, man, I play domino, drinks I sell. You understand? So my father was like that kind of thing, entrepreneurish. You understand? My father, my mother, them also used to go to the docks, go pick up yam, banana, chocho, dashi, naki, the whole of them, and go around all of South London.
See?
From me come off, I boat there at Dakar London, boom, South London, all the way down with a man named Mr. George, who's drive the all. But we bought a post office van. They bought a post office.
Okay, GPO van.
Yeah. And we sham it up, full of food.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we gone away. Which man I used to go? I never used to go on the trips much. You know? I was young. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. But then we should do the trip and go out from Lusham or Deptford, and then we go weird on a crane and give I like food and serve pineapple. So the influence of the Caribbean was always inside of me. Yeah, yeah. The music's always inside of me till when we dash school now. You know what I mean? Like, well, I'm 14, 15 years old, right? Sir, can we bring my sound system?
See.
What are you talking about? Well, it's end of term, you know what I mean? Like, you always say that we can have we relax and we can do what we want. Can we bring our sound system? Can't remember, brother, I did have them sound system I want with a local friend of ours, Errol Carpenter.
See.
You know what I mean? He's still running sound today.
Wow.
Because party sound still I want. Okay. You understand? Mm-hmm. Big man. You know, but that's my introduction into the music.
Right.
And I so I will always there. So me know a tune from some man and know a tune. You know a tune named Islam?
No.
Prince Buster? No, sir. I tell you, sir. Anyway, all them tunes, I will be performing these tunes because these are original tunes.
Okay.
So I will bring in these things.
Yeah.
We get in the school.
Mm-hmm.
We can play our sound system. So it was always DJ. Through my teenage years.
What was your ambition then? Music?
No, right. Man, we never have no ambition in no music.
See.
Right, you understand? And I was playing sound system, entertaining people were playing records, you understand? My little brother, he'd be on the mic, baby. You know what I mean? I'm more time laying out some big artists come, right? Amy and Philip, because they're the singers. and they would jump up, because like, we had some girlfriend too, you know.
Right.
Now, three girlfriend them, but the place, you understand? Not a girl as in, not relationship girlfriend, but our girlfriends, you understand?
Within the group. Them
talks to her, and anybody could have come up and they'd be singing. You know what I mean? Artist, definitely, because we should go for the Coxon Sound and certain other sounds, you know, Shaka Sound and Paddington Terra Soul and some Westland and so on. You understand? Neville Charter Soul. Big Sound that. And foreign sound like Earthquake. I don't know if you know Earthquake from up at Birmingham.
Quaker City.
And the heaviest.
See.
That was the heaviest sound me right here.
So what did you see for yourself when you was about to leave school? Where did you see the road taking you? Like your path? What was it like? Because like you said, you didn't have no ambition in music. What you're about to leave school. Where did you see yourself?
Through my schooling was not that great and anything there. Right, I'm just hustle.
Okay.
I'm just on the hustle.
On the road.
On the hustle.
Yeah.
You understand?
See.
Was
you in bands or anything then time?
Nothing better. I mean, no music at all. I'm just playing sound system, run up and down, smoke weed, run gal, go and misbehave, juvenile delinquent.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I said? But I never, people, I don't rob poor people, I don't rob my own.
See.
You understand? A rich man rob me.
Hmm.
All them rob, I tell you, the rich people rob me, right? Then put me in a slavery for what? For them. And they don't give me a fair share of what they collect.
See.
Same system. So
yeah.
That is all. That is how I grow. So my ambition in music, zero.
See.
Right? If anything does so, I want to know how to make an amplifier.
Oh,
I know if I make. Yeah. So I tried to go and get a job as an electrician. And you, they said to me, you got too much qualification to be an electrician.
See.
Go find some other job.
See.
And then I later in life found out I was not
right
supposed to ask them questions. Yeah. So through the music and all the different artists, that what got me to know the reggae music.
Right.
I love the reggae music. No, it's all fun. Growing up like I don't grow up like English children.
When did you decide to take music more seriously then and say, right, I can make something out of this? When did you start really honing your craft and say, right,
That appeared.
Right.
That's appeared, right? Through my teenage years, out of road, and them dear, right? But like when I became 19, right, 19, 20, I was a mechanic.
Okay.
I went to college, but I didn't really like what I wanted to do. They would tell I got to do. But I ended up in a mechanic shop. So I was fixing cars and, you know what I mean? And I'm hustling there as well. I'm hustling everywhere.
See.
You understand? So now this man comes, he used to drive a yellow 2002
BMW.
It was a lime green one, you know what I mean? So like, I said, boy, this nigga's got it going with that. Well, I'm good, you know what I mean? Because I'm driving Ford Anglia. King there, you know, Cortinas, you know what I mean? And a Woosley. I'm driving them King there. So anyway, I'm fixing this car, right? And ready to something, this man said, you know what, I'm in the music business, you know.
Okay.
I said, yeah, we doing music. He said, why am I one group? Yeah, Matumbe. You know, so we play music, you know. And he's like, yeah. I said, yeah, man, we play music. So, what anything? He goes, what do you play? I play trumpet. I play the trumpet. He goes, yeah. All right, then, I tell you what. We come look for you 2 weeks time, man, thing and that, right? I said, yeah, man, serious now. Come down, you know what I mean? I did. But you know what I'm saying? He left. I'm on the hustle. He didn't come down until about 6 months later. And then when he came, I went, as you do, yeah, mate, you're full of shit down here. He goes, no, what, you serious? I said, yeah, mate. Because, like, I'm just playing sound system. We aren't getting much sound system jobs now. You know what I mean? More running up and down and get my money and run up and down. And he's gone, I'll come for you in 2 weeks. I said, listen, don't mess me about. If I go, come back 2 weeks, come in 2 weeks. He goes, yeah, I'll come in 2 weeks. Following week, he calls up, calls the garage. Well, you seem interested in this thing, yeah? So I go, yeah, man. He goes, all right, then I'll come for you next week. Brother. At a Triumph PI, see? Right at the time, right, 2.5 injection, and get it where the ex police one.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They boost it up.
Also
right?
Manual.
Manual, bro. Right, I sold it. Sold it and got myself a trumpet.
Right.
Now I don't play trumpet. I play some big trombones.
See.
But it's his technique similar there. Right, I ain't played nothing for 9 years, 10 years, done nothing. You know what I mean? So I goes and buys a trumpet from the shop. I'm trying to remember. But only I got one octave, but like I only could get like three notes in the neck. I'm going to get this job. Right, so anyway, right, I told my brother. Now, Henry is...
See?
Yeah, he's much more of a player than me. Mm. You understand? Mm. Right, seeing more dedicated to him. And he wasn't playing for a long time. But I said, listen, mate, this man's come around. He said, you can get us in the music. Can go play our instruments and shit like that. Mm. You want to come? He goes, yeah, but I ain't got an instrument. He says, I don't know. All right, then. So, come anyway and see if we can come. Right, so anyway, I'm learning, doing my thing. Geezer comes in. Yeah, you ready? You going to come? Yeah, he comes for us. All right, so we do our best, you know what I mean? Because I'll go up in Christian house, put on a white shirt. Yeah, go there, it's proper, you know what I mean? When we go up there now, we met this group, Matumbi, and they're all in the studio. Every one of them was inside the studio, all the members, you know what I mean? So we're there and, yeah, so you use the horns, my nan said, yeah, well, we play horns, you know? But like, my brother, he plays horns, but he ain't got one. And, so he said, well, no, I'm not working, can play. He said, yeah, he can play. So Buttons go, you got saxophone? And he goes, yeah, man, so what, a saxophone in the studio? Bang. And he's playing. So, all right, then, just play off the first lines then, you know, what's the line, what's the tune? Blue beat and ska. What's the horn line?
Da, 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 da. Buddy, bada, pop, pop. See?
Bring back the memories of what those used to be. And I'm like, all right. Da, 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 with my crappy lip. No, ain't got that. Right? And my brother's playing on the saxophone. You see, when we done the intro, I put up boom, boom, lick, white, and me and my brother looked at each other and we were like, the man, the man, no, we on the car, we can't play.
So who was it who come check you in the car at the garage?
Oh, the bass player.
Right.
Ethan Bleek. We call him Jablik.
Right, okay.
Yeah, he was the one. It was him.
See.
I'm still talking today. So I introduced me to the thing. I made a joke with him the other day. I said, hey, remember if I made a car bottom.
Same. Right.
Yeah. But yeah, when we played, that was our first.
First band.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't ain't got no experience. Mm. I got 1 week experience of playing the bloody thing.
Mm.
You understand? Only because I knew what it was in Telden, that was it, my brother. Mm-hmm. Nothing else. And my brother come in, so that's how we got into Matumbi's. And it was great because, like, I'm not the same Brixton, me down West End, and we're going to West End, Saw nightclub, I know Cannabis Street, you know. Which,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Go and them places.
Okay.
you know what I mean? Them club, I was too young to go to them big man club, you know what I mean?
Right.
The only club I used to go, when I got to age, a certain age, right, was on Pierce Street.
Right, okay.
The club, you know what I mean?
Paddington?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Praise Street, yeah.
Them club,
People's
yeah.
Club.
People's.
Yeah. So that's
what you're doing, sir. What are you doing, sir?
Come on, man. The face look young, but you know. Just me.
So anybody who's going around at that area and I've seen in the area, in the hood, in London, I know.
See.
You understand? See. And you see who's there, you know, who's come at them party. You know, come on, this, that, and that, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, not like now you get some people say, oh, yeah, I claim to do this. I say, well, he never see it. He's like me and Shaka one time before he passed. We had a conversation one time. He said, hey, Shaka, how many people that you recognize that's coming from when we were teenagers, then, dear? And so on. I said, oh, yeah, do you see these people? Where them there? Well, some of these people say that they used to be in the place, but we never see them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to mention you, but yeah, I understand. But yeah, that's my going into the music, got into my Matumbi's,
right.
And was on a tour. In 6 months, I was on tour.
So you know, I was doing quite well then, really, yeah.
Wouldn't it be quite well, better? I just started, the hustle was on.
Yeah. But I mean, the band as a whole was doing really
the
well.
The band, remember, I am not Matumbi. Matumbi come call me and come bring me in the band.
Yeah, you understand?
I'm a side man in the band.
See.
Oh yeah, you need Matumbi to you know, Patrick. I said, well, I'm born in England, you understand? So I know what it is. You can't just hype and talk and go, yeah. You know what I mean? You got to be real.
Yeah.
You understand? Yeah. So yeah, alright, call me Matumbi. The people can call me Matumbi, but I am not Matumbi.
See.
Right? When you give me contract with saying, send me I'm Matumbi. No, man, I'm born in England, you know.
See.
So I know what's going on.
But I can imagine it must have been a wonderful experience with the band and things still.
Because like we get to meet our man and then getting to know more about the man them in the scene. Like,
right.
So we know with Castleborn, he's just not just a record shop man, you know, and sound man and them thing there.
Yeah.
And we just have to move on and
see, and
we build up to him. We meet our man like charmers in the business.
See.
These, you know what I mean, who I respect enough.
Right.
Because like he really was. He pushed
right
for our for the younger youth them
and
the
new
for come up in the meeting of this business you know.
Yes, so we're gonna talk about the established UNA where it really started kicking off, like with all the big bands, and because we know you've had a like the career like really peaks, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
so from, we might hear them part, they know.
From the Matumbi days after.
But to start with Matumbi, I mean,
he's a big.
Usually you work your way up
to Matumbi.
You just went
straight in.
You know what I mean?
Straight in, but it cost me my car.
Yeah.
But you see, that's the dedication. That's a dedication as a musician.
Yeah. So I'm getting this. Matumbi, 6 months I'm on tour. Ian Jury and the Blockheads.
Okay.
Yeah, and Matumbi's doing, we're doing a British English tour with a whole heap of punks. And it's like, and people just jumping up and down. And I'm thinking, them really love with music. They just come party and jump up and down, whatever. I'm getting in the whole of that scene and getting to move around England more now because, you know, Matumbi was signed to the corporation, EMI.
Right.
So like, you know, Melody Maker, get yourself in
proper
there.
Mainstream.
Yeah, it was, yeah, corporate, yeah. The corporate, they got me, right? You understand? And it was at the time where the corporation was start to sign in reggae bands.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So like Aswad was signed around the time there, Misty Roots signed around the time there, you know, Glenn Washington signed around the time there. You know, a little later after that, Black Slate signed on the time.
Okay.
You understand? All the bands were signing there.
Right.
So in that world, then, we did it. And true now, Matumbi got me, which I thought, when I heard them first, before actually joining, I didn't think they were really a good band.
Who that?
Matumbi, because I used to play a lot of funky songs or whatever. Soul songs and stuff like that. So when I did that, because when I first saw Matumbi was in Croydon, Blue Lagoon, you know, a place called Blue Lagoon. So it's gone now. But like, that's when I first recognised which band I was in. So anyway, Matumbi's went through all of them things. They got experience with companies and that. And at the same time, Dennis was always in the studio, and that's me now. Like me, Lacha and Pan Dennis.
Right.
You know what I mean? The music nut. The scientist, man. The musician. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hear a bottle, ding, ding, ding. That's a great instrument. And I'm like, but this man, you know, I'm a tab on.
Yeah. Sonic.
Creative.
Yeah. The Sonics. So this man, so it's like, I'm seeing a lot of people coming around with him. Because we're working from a studio up in Soho. And Mark Lusardi.
Okay.
The brother of Linda Lusardi. He was the engineer in this place, right? In the studio.
That's where Hard Times was recorded, no? Or did. Because Mark Lusardi had something to do with that. Wasn't he the engineer on that? I'm sure he was.
But anyway, this is before he had his own studio.
Right, okay. Right. Yeah.
Right. Anyway, but a lot of people used to float through there. Right? And because Dennis was engineering, making music and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And one of the people them that was always inside there was Aswad, was Brinsley, not yeah. Brinsley, was Tony Gadd and Drummy Zeb.
Zane.
I mean, Drummy Zeb a lot was riding with Dennis.
Yeah, because he drummed for him a lot, didn't he?
Yeah, done the session for a lot. And like Jaboni was Matumbi's drummer, so Jaboni was doing sessions. And so when Dennis are making tune, he's got the whole band there, isn't it? He's got a band, he's got bits of bands, musicians. Yeah. So that's where I came in, playing the horns on tunes.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my brother, you understand? Right. But like when the session was done, I'd be in the studio and I'd just be staying there.
Right.
Well, you know, where you at, Dennis? No, man, no. 5 o'clock in the morning, more time where I got left, you know. I'm like that. Sometimes I fall asleep inside that studio. God, I just wanted the environment. I'm soaking up the environment. Yeah, call it senseless. Why say that he could go back tomorrow? I mean, that's not me. I'm soaking up the whole vibe while coming in. That's why I said, Dennis, I might teach you this in production and not in sound. You know what I mean? What I want to hear, he knows how to, he showed me how you could get it through the desk and the instruments that was playing. Yes. Dennis, a genius, you know. He doesn't say what to say.
Absolutely. Eh?
Oh, yes.
Definitely.
Yeah, so anyway, so I was always with him. That led me to Aswad. Aswad liked me, but I didn't get into Aswad band. My brother got into Aswad band because Vin Gordon couldn't play with them no more. So my brother got inside there. But I was always a side man because like, I still get on with Eddie Tantan today and Mike Albami Ruiz.
Right.
But they were the horn section
for
Aswad. But I was always around, you know, till I ended up one album for Aswad. Which was Chasing for the Breeze album.
Okay.
I it's my trumpets on there. Because Eddie Tantan, don't know what happened to him there, but Eddie's a big man, you know what I mean? He wasn't there. So that's how I got in more to working with Aswad. Obviously, doing some shows with Aswad, stick the Aswad hat on and whatever. Mm. But like, never Aswad. Just like, never. Matumbi. You know what I mean? Man's on us. So I'm going through, Sideman going through. I got to learn, got to know Trevor, this man named Trevor Ball, which introduced me and my brother to Rothcott.
Okay.
Tony Phillips, Undivided Roots at the time.
We
were working them. But through Undivided Roots as a band, they were getting more gigs playing for other artists and that.
Right.
So that's how the Rothcott thing come about, and we was all, me and my brother was part of that from the off. So that to me was more of a band that I was personally
part of.
You understand? And as you know, the Rothcott we work with every artist.
Right.
So Danny Ray, everybody, and got you and you know, and after that, you know, I mean, I worked with Mafia, then was in Maxi, with Maxi, and we worked with all of the everybody, Brown Sugar, everybody.
What would you consider to be the pinnacle of that time then for you? Like
this is 80s.
Yeah.
This is early late 70s. All this happened within 5 years.
Wow.
Right, and 1984 is the day when we met. UB40, 1984.
Right.
And we was working with Winston Reedy. We was in a band called the Hard Rock Band.
My
band. I was just a member of a band that was put together by someone. So, you know, which we worked with Winston Reedy, which how we got into that. That's another story. I had to get into that. You know. Apparently, Earl Faulkner, the bass player, he saw us working with Dan Ryan Wilson from Rothcott again.
Okay.
So we're doing work Dan Ryan Wilson, and he went back, told his band members, said, "Listen, man, there's two horn players out there, they're really good, blah, 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 blah." Anyway, the two horn players ended up in the Hard Rock Band doing support with UB40 on the Winston Reedy gigs.
Okay.
So Winston Reedy got us, was there, Chili Dixon, bang, get me inside there. UB40 sees us. Brian Travers comes down, goes, "How would you like to come on stage, do a couple of numbers with us? It's your choice." I'm going, "Yeah? All right, I'll be like the 1 in 10. That 1 in 10 tune, you play that." "Yeah, all right, then we'll introduce you and your brother." You know what I mean? So already like music business amongst the niggas now, you know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? So all that kind of little thing was going, I don't give a monkey.
Did you have your name though at that time? That's the hard, because I know you over Matic, the years.
Matic.
Yeah. Matic, but you had that from then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, see. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, because your story is, I said too much bridging, a big stand will come from it. Big stand it grew in. Right, see? Well, anyway, we're inside there. The Brian Travers come down and says he would like to do us to come on the stage. So we did come on the stage, and then we'll come on the stage after. Then after that tour, because we were supporting UB40, Winston Reedy was. Mm.
Right.
You know, in this England legs, right? Right. So, they came after their tour, after that tour, they said, would you come and work with us? And I'm going, yeah, no problem. I work with everybody else. You know what I mean?
So you recorded the one and only
band, sorry, I have to send this before anything, because go back to the last 10 minutes ago, the one and only band that I really chose myself to actually belonged in with was the Dub Band.
Oh, right.
It was called the Dub Band.
Right.
The members have changed, but it all started when Dennis came to me. I'm a brother. I want to form a band.
Right.
I'll call it the Dub Band. I said, I'm in. That is the only time I felt...
Okay.
You were fundamental.
Yeah, because everything, I'm the side man, I'm sidekick, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I got up to UB40.
Oh.
Right? And that's another story on that in my musical career, you know?
For real. UB40.
You
might need porridge times.
I know you're...
I got to look at it.
You've been up that passport with UB40,
Yeah, this passport, get that renewal, get that kind of put the PSM full of power. And, went around with them, learned more from them.
I were.
That's when I still run little labels. I've always been an entrepreneur.
Right.
And trying, always looking at us, always doing, always working. So myself and... One, the bass player at the UB40 got our label. We started our own label, own production. And we ended up having three house, deep house label, a drum and bass label, a reggae label.
Okay.
Yeah, our kids' productions. I learned a lot of things like that, you know, from them. You know what I mean? I didn't get... it was nice working with Earl. You know, but like the rest of the band didn't like it.
Mm.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they didn't like that, you know.
Yeah.
I get in the learn, you know, when someone comes around to you and says, Earl's getting to learn a lot about this music business.
Mm. Right.
And I go, yeah, well, each one teach one. I'm getting to learn about a lot of the corporate side of the world. So, you know what I mean? I'm getting point blank down.
So it's like a one and what's the other situation?
Yeah. I mean, I ain't had that because, like, it's a whole heap of things. I've been around the world. I'm insane. I played UB40 at one point, I think it was 1989. Dubbed the biggest.
They were massive. Yeah.
The biggest band in the world.
Yeah, man.
Right? And biggest band in the corporate world. Mm. You understand? So... They're earning more money than the Rhythmics every hour, Wally Papi.
Who was your meeting on them travels with them?
Everybody. We meet everybody. Of course, everybody. You meet everybody that is signed to the corporate and inside the corporate world, right? See? And some of the artists them that I've met, right, seeing them is they're true people.
See?
Right? And a lot of the artists that I meet, them is not true people.
See?
Right. They fake. Oh, I'm here to do a job. All right, do your job, and that's how you look like. You understand what I'm saying? I, for one, I wear my heart on my sleeve, always has done and always will do. Mm. So you see me, that's what I am. You understand? Yeah. I'm happy. Even my missus says I make her happy. So that must be something.
Yes,
that's something. Work.
You understand? So
happy wife, happy life.
Happy wife, happy life. You understand? And I can't stand up everything. My children are happy with me.
Oh,
and everybody's happy. You understand? Yeah. And I don't tell them no foolishness. I just say to them, bow to no man, no woman, no one. Don't bow to no one. Stand up on this, like you're sitting on the square. You are equal.
Yeah,
right? You could be the King of England, you're my equal.
Yeah.
And shit about you up there, mate. Because what you're doing socially now, you know, being political, ain't helping. You ain't even helping your own kind.
Mm.
So that's enough of that. So anyway, but meet the UB40 showed me a lot. I learned a lot about his business.
Mm-hmm.
Lot more. I even had deals with 3M, to take people there. Oh, distribute. Right. Yeah, Sony 3MV, distribution, my products and stuff like that. I was getting the work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I still had to deal with the band. And their aspirations and what their aspirations was didn't really include me.
Right.
You know, didn't really include me. I was doing a lot there, I've done a lot, you know what I mean? I've done 7 tracks, produced and arranged 7 tracks for Ali Campbell.
Okay.
And his first solo album.
Okay.
Big Love and I don't get the credit for that. My name's not on these kind of things there. So there was a few times some people that I know from the hood said, "Why, Patrick, call him manager." And I go, "Where are you going to take me?" Because I didn't understand what a manager could be like that, you know?
Right.
It's only later in leaving all of them that I found out the likes of Elton John wanted us to, me and my brother, to work on albums with him.
Wow.
Other artists then was in the system wanted the UB40 horn section.
Yeah.
Mm.
But UB40 weren't giving out the horn section. Mm-hmm. So they're like, "I can't get hold of you, man. Like, the money would cost us to get you, look. Nah, man, you can't pay that."
Mm.
Right.
So the Soul Jazzy B come to me one day and says, "How come we can't get hold of you?" I said, "You can." Hmm. I done a session for Jazzy B. That's how he ended up on doing Richie Stevens when he had that "Joy Is a New Sense." With Soul to Soul. So right. I've been on that and done a TV thing with him. Yeah, man. But Jazzy B was like, "Hang on, we're in the same company, Virgin. Why can't we get access to you, lot?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I said, "You can, I'm here, bro." It was a chef that told him that he could get hold of me.
Okay.
Jazzy B chef.
Right.
Napa. You understand what I'm saying? I said, "Yeah, man, what you mean, Patch? What you mean, man?" "Where Jazzy B there, come in."
See.
And that's how we, you know? So nice to be up there, but I weren't getting the money's worth.
Right, right.
And because I wasn't getting the money's worth, that's what ended my time with them.
Right.
I had enough of it.
Yeah.
I weren't getting my money's worth, you know what I mean?
Right.
Hear this saying, right? And I only heard it up in the corporation, yeah? If you employ monkeys, what do you give them?
Peanuts.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, I'm down here in the street, bro. We don't hear street people talk them weird.
Yeah, no, that's real.
You understand what I'm saying, fam? The man that makes so much money.
Yeah.
Right? Don't want to cut me in. Think they're doing me a favour.
Mm.
Well, I done them a favour. I didn't charge them as much as they don't have to charge us that much because we give you more gigs, more work.
Mm.
Right? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But the pay grade every year was going up with them, notably. You understand?
Right.
But like my skill and my knowledge in putting the music to the albums. Ba 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 da 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 ba ba do ba ya. You understand? Me and my brother's kicking, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Making arrangements, writing brass lines.
Yeah, yeah.
Hang on a minute.
For real.
Getting wires up to the tin. Hang on a minute. Pat, you there having fun? What was it? It's all going on fun on the recordings. And they don't want to give no royalties for it.
Yeah.
So I said, "Give me some royalties." They said, "No." I waited 1 year and I crushed them. They had 35,000 people to do in France, Zenith Theatre. I crushed a lot. They had to cut 10 songs off the set. Mm-hmm. So then people got a short show, elongated out the bloody show or whatever. Yeah. They had to cut 10 shows. Why? Because I'm playing trumpet, I'm playing keyboards, I'm playing the tambourine, and I'm dancing up like a what? Like the monkey.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
The system will chew you up and spit you out eventually.
If they want you, they got to like you. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They got to like you. I'm not UB40, I'm the side man. You understand?
Mm.
It's only that only one recognition I got. I'm in Los Angeles, in Virgin's office. We're getting awarded with a plaque. 7 million, you know, 7 million sold, right? In 6 months or some shit like that. You understand?
Mm.
And we're on tour. You understand? So we go to Virgin, right? Branson's there and everybody's there and we're getting these plaques, right? What does the A&R man stands up beside me, right? He's from, he's LA, right? He's American, right? He stands up there. I've got my plaque inside there, giving the smiles, and he's down in my ear, I'm going to say, you deserve much more than this. You deserve much more than this, right? That's the A&R man. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I've gone to him, they don't care. Take the picture, bang, took my plaque, brought it home, gave it to my children. I don't want that. I don't want no plaque from them bastards. Right? You understand? They could make me be successful in this. And this is another phrase that I got learned in my life, right? In corporation, music business. Patrick, if you want to kick ass, learn to kiss ass. And I said, you know what? I don't want nobody, I don't mind kicking ass, but I don't want nobody kissing my ass.
Right.
And I ain't kissing nobody's
ass. And I'm not kissing no one. Because you know where you come when you're when you live with the peasants, let's go back to 1600s. Right? Charles Dickens and that, right? See, now I'm a peasant. You know what I mean? I'm the poor. Doing a little job around here. My dad's a little carpenter man, fix poor people's windows. You understand what I'm saying? That's where I'm from. That's where they want. They want to treat me like that. No, man, bigger than this, man. That's the business. Oh. So, yeah, that was then. But I learned a lot of things. As I said, you know, I had my own labels and done this and that and coming out and working still with us in the streets.
Yeah, man.
So I'm still grounded. My root is still amongst the people.
Oh, right. Okay.
Oh, outside of music, then, what do you do to relax? Do you have any hobbies? Oh. Like, what's your thing?
Gardening, mountain climbing, sewing, knitting. What do you do?
Boy, I'd love to have a vegetable garden.
Yeah,
I'd love to do that. Right, I do. I look after myself.
See,
you know, so I'm always working. I'm always exercising, my tension band, you know, keeping myself to that outside of the music for relax. Obviously, don't listen to no one's music. Don't listen to my own music. Because I spend a lot of time listening to my own music all the time.
Right.
I'm playing on trumpet. You know what I mean? I'm not just a horns man, but I'm a musician. I'm a musician. And I can put, as I said, you know, through all my skills and what I've learned as a youth and, you know, I've even done engineering job. I've had the likes of Mick Jagger, Keith Richards in the studio. I've had Eurythmics in the studio. I've had Jimmy Cooper, I've had Sly Robbie. They're all in the studio. I'm engineering.
Okay, that's so cool.
You know what I mean? I've learned my craft.
Yeah.
In a dish, and that's something I say. You know, and I can talk to engineers and stuff.
You know, one thing I always thought about horns players, I always believed for some reason, because I love my jazz. So I always thought that if you're a horns man, if you don't play jazz, but you're still going to hark back and listen to and get some of the rudiments from any of the jazz players, is that?
Right, on the trumpet, not anything else, but on the trumpet, I will tend to be to push the envelope more, to open up the envelope more to reggae, the sound of reggae.
Yes,
because reggae, the sound of reggae,
it's a distinct
energy. The sound of reggae, right, Sim, right. Really, in particular to horns, all the horn players back in the day, right? They went to school, most of them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right, Tommy McCook, he's not even Jamaican.
Yeah,
he's not Jamaican. Tommy McCook is a Cuban.
Yeah,
understand? Right, so you got that element.
Yeah.
And that's jazzy and funky and bluesy.
Yeah.
And in the reggae, the people them. You know what I mean? With Jackie Mitchell's and with Scratch Perry and them, you know, you understand? Yeah. And it's simple, It's simple, right? But there's still a skill in the music because they had to get writers or copy tunes, as we know. We always copy the tunes and turn them in and put a reggae beat on them. So there's a skill inside it because they come from blues. This is why reggae and country and western and blues are so very close.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, that's a very, very close. You know, it's just we interpret and we love the backbeat more than
it.
You know, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, all together now. We're missing the first one. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Confuse the rest of the world.
There's not no more. That's that mumbo jumbo kind of thing. Well, anyway,
musicians are so laid back.
But I don't know if you see a show that was on the making of Catch a Fire, and they had that American guy, was it Perkins? And they had the keyboards player, and they heard the strange music for the first time, and the man said, I was just trying to listen to this thing. I couldn't find the one. It was crazy. It's upside down. That's skill and I feel it.
Popular music, disco. Corporation loves disco.
Yes.
Right. And it's synonymous. It's anonymous to them.
Yeah.
Right. Because the European human, right, them love this 1, 2, 3, 4 marching music 4, 2, 3, 4 They have different styles back in the day when they had the waltz, which is on 1, 2, 3, 4 But it was always starts on the one. You know what I mean? It's only the African and the Asians and the Arabs will start. Well, why'd you have to start on one? Let's start on two. So I go to Russia. I'm listening to Russian folk music there. Right. I'm finding the folk people, them have a reggae kind of chip I want to. Pastimes, I'm listening to everything too.
Okay.
Well, not much, you know, but like I like no one because sometimes my ears ring.
Right.
I just want to get the music out of my ear.
Okay. As an established musician now, looking back, what advice would you give to your younger self?
My younger self, the human being where I come up, right? If you have music in you, keep it in you. Don't sell it. Do it for you. That is you. You know, right? Do it for you, right? Don't. If you want to come into music, if you come into the music, you know it's a business, right? Leave the businessmen to leave. To do with the business,
right?
Right. Do your music, right? You're fortunate to have someone spot you, would work with you, would help you,
mentor you, bring you.
We don't even have to go to the bank. We'll help you. We'll support financially.
Yes.
It's on the business side,
right?
You know, it's like you're taking. Oh, look at that. It doesn't know what it can do, but I can help it move. I can move it every day and do this, and you know, delicate, sincere though. Don't. Hopefully they don't, because like when you get into the business, that's when you start getting the exploitation.
Yes.
And all that unhumanly behavior.
Right.
Start coming out. You understand what I'm saying?
It's almost inevitable in some.
So you know, for young, you know, in as a musician. Man who's got his craft, his art, you know, when you get in the business, don't give up. Don't give up, right? Because like, if you give up on the music and start to do music to earn money for the corporation, you will lose your creativity. You will lose your development to go beyond. You know, and this is why I stick to her and everything I play, especially in the roots era as a horn player. I put notes and phrases in which will bring the skill out more of the player.
See.
You know, right? I've been, they say, boy, Pat, sometimes some of your horn lines, then, or when you're soloing, it sounds jazzish.
Right.
And I go,
thank you.
That's what you were saying.
It's what I play.
Thank you very much.
But it's not jazz.
Yeah.
I'm just using the skill of my instrument. And do you understand?
Well,
sometimes I do a session for a few years ago. And it's four to the floor because, you know, these new roots generation, them love four to the floor because it's European, right? And they say they wanted militant and, you know, regal and royal. So I just go and think about, like, well, I'm in the Salvation Army. You know, I mean, I put the yard in, I think,
Yeah,
I put this in the music, and some people go, I know reggae, that. I go, well, you can't tell me what reggae is. I'm a musician that's playing reggae, right? Don't really come here, say I'm not a player. Well, yeah, but reggae are just some simple music. I said, it's simple to you, but to make reggae, even silence plays a part.
See, for real. Space.
Oh, yeah.
Miles will tell me that. Miles, well, I'm filled with music, that. You know what I mean? Hey. So the orchestra, man, yeah. Well, full up every part.
As a man now, tell us one of your best qualities.
Apart from your effervescence.
Righteousness.
Righteousness.
I'm a man who have righteousness.
Yes.
Justice.
Yes.
For all I and I. Right? You know what I'm saying? I'm one of the pigeons that don't kill and eat the next pigeon.
See.
You know what I'm saying? Right? And lions don't kill each other. And sharks not kill each other. I don't know why humans kill each other.
As a man, what would you say is a worst quality or a bad quality? Because we all have them.
Me not have none.
See? All right.
Me not have no bad quality. Because what I've had to grow up in the system where bad already.
See? Okay.
You have to know, you have to go on bad too.
I will.
Because if you don't go on bad, the system's going to crash you and make me end up taking pills all my life.
See?
And dead enough at 60.
Okay.
You understand what I said? And don't know nothing about creation. Right. And don't even know about a fellow human like myself.
Right.
You understand?
Okay.
God, we live in the matrix, as the new word, but we've always, for me, it's always been a system that I was born into. You understand? And from my first child that was born, right, I was threatened with divorce, right, if I never registered my first child's birth.
Okay.
I didn't want to register it. Because you know, I'm nothing from the system.
Right, see.
I'm not, I mean, you know, the system called me an outlaw.
See.
I'm saying I'm outside of you anyway, because I don't really want being in your system.
See.
I want to live life. So yes, you know, everything, be yourself. If you come from goodness, maintain the goodness and the liberty. Righteousness.
Okay.
Life for people, you know.
That's it.
And I'm a thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Yes, well, another fine episode with our guest, Patrick Mattix, and very enlightening. And thank you to all the viewers and listeners. And don't forget to tune into our next episode. And please support, like, subscribe to our channel, Garvey's Ghost in the Spectrum of Roots.
Peace.
Bless.